Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Friday. I'm Doug Steffen with Jennifer Horn and Victoria Keelan. Kara Schillen at the controls in our studio in Washington, 34 past the hour. How many of you have started your holiday shopping?
Me.
I was talking to a lovely lady last night who, when I called, she said, I didn't realize it was this late. I said, what have you been doing? She said, I've been Christmas shopping. Christmas
shopping. My goal
was
to be done by now. I started in July. Yeah, that didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. No. So, how many of you are going to do things differently this year than last year? Are you going to go online, or did you find that experience unsatisfactory and you decided to go back to the retail stores? A lot of retailers are giving their employees an assist with technology to try to bring customers back into the store. If you have not noticed this, when you go into various stores, I noticed it, and I wasn't putting two and two together until I started looking at the surveys coming from some retail stores. Everybody's got a pad. Did you notice that? We walk around stores, everybody's got an iPad. Everybody's got some kind of device that tells them, if you have a question, Home Depot is where I first noticed it. Everybody's got a device. And if you ask them a question like, I need this kind of light bulb. Well, let me look it up here. We had a lot of them on aisle three in the store, but let me see if they're if there is any stock in another store. So they just a couple of movements on the keypad, and they find that the store in Arlington has just what I'm looking for. Huh? And you go into clothing stores, and they have this. It's pretty much everywhere because they're trying to move people in and answer all the questions and give them service. My God, right. What happened to... How many of us have said, what happened to service in the stores? That's why people went online, because you go into the store and you can't find anybody to help you. So, wait, I'm not going to waste my time wandering out looking for somebody. If you can't be bothered to have somebody there to help me, I'll go find somebody who can. Or I'll go someplace where I can find it. And so they were all shooting themselves in the foot. And now they've gotten smart. But what kind of business has that meant for Apple and that ilk to sell those pads and whatever to all of these stores?
For girls, I'm sure all of us have been in Sephora where instead of waiting on a line, a girl comes up with her who works in the store. You have all of your stuff that you're buying, and she comes up to you with her iPhone. She swipes your card right on her iPhone.
Yep.
You sign with your finger, and you're out. It's fabulous. It's great.
Yeah. Well,
way better.
You do that when you get a car now. Most of the time, like when I'm here, I rent from Enterprise, and I went in there the other day and got the car as usual, and they got an iPad, and they have two pages, two initials, one signature. You're done. You're out of there.
That's great.
I was in and out. If there isn't a line, I can be in and out of the Enterprise in 4 or 5 minutes. In, get the do all your little stuff on the kiosk, and outside, here we go. That's the only piece of paper. This is it. Yeah, Mr. Steffen, here's the car over here. Have you out of here in a couple of minutes. Walk around the car, see if there's any scratches. I don't want this. I don't want that. Sign here. Sign there. Goodbye. That's it. And it's all because of these devices. So is life better, or would you rather have time to exchange conversation with somebody in the car lot?
If you're used to that, that's going out of style quickly, isn't it? Everything is done online. Let's just go pick it up.
So,
with text messaging, no one wants to talk on the phone. I mean,
I don't go into the bank. I haven't been inside of a bank in I don't even know how long.
So what do you do with the check I send you?
I take a picture of it on my app. You're going to laugh at this.
I take
a picture on my app with my Chase phone, and it's deposited.
Did
I just blow your mind?
Speaking of blowing my mind, the sun is going to disappear next August. There will be a total eclipse of the sun, and it'll be visible all across our country. This is something that, when you look back at the history books, it's been described as indescribable, unforgettable, life-altering. It will be a spiritual experience for a lot of people, I'm going to bet.
So you look up in the sky, and you don't see the sun at all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Think of that.
Yeah, it's starting like in Alaska.
In Oregon, about 10:15 in the morning on the 21st of August next summer. So the eclipse will be visible from the Great Smoky Mountains, St. Louis, Kansas City, Charleston, and all the points that are in between. And so the last time there was a total eclipse like this was June 8th, 1918. And it became, because a lot of people didn't know, there wasn't communication. There
did
were
people
newspapers,
panic back then,
sure.
I wonder?
Of course they did. Like,
What's going on?
Yeah. It's like the War of the Worlds on the radio
yeah.
in 1939. Same kind of thing. The people thought it was real. So, anyway, a lot of people are planning ahead for this event. Already the hotels and campgrounds are totally booked. It's like trying to find a seat on American Airlines.
I have friends in Colorado who are planning to be camping during this.
Yeah.
Because they're really into it.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
Yeah, it is cool. I think those sorts of things. They are very, it's a great time for you to be in touch with yourself, I think. Those kind of, they bring people together, those sort of events.
But they do. That's true.
Yeah, they certainly do. The Environmental Protection Agency is the culprit in Flint. What a surprise this is. Huh? Aren't you shocked to hear that they had the information about what was going on with the water supply in Flint, the lead-contaminated water supply? 7 months before it became known, they had the information, and they did squat. Zero. Nothing. Nada about it. Inspector General report yesterday, quote, federal law provides the EPA with emergency authority to intervene when the safety of drinking water is compromised. Employees must be knowledgeable, trained, and ready to act. And they did not do that in Flint. So
stories like this just always make me shake my head because, I mean, what do they think is going to happen? That it's just going to disappear on its own and then, like, no one's going to figure out.
No, they don't want to do anything because they don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I get that. But I just mean, like, people always find out, you know, that they know about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do they think is going to happen? That no one's going to figure out that they knew about it and didn't do anything?
So,
I mean, in this day and age with social media and emails and everything.
I mean, look at that mailman that we were talking about in Atlanta.
I mean,
he even got busted.
Yeah. But, so let's just carry that one step further. There are all these people that are veterans that are counting on because the administration said, what, 2-3 years ago, we're going to fix this. We're going to put a new guy in charge of the VA, and he's going to go in and hospital by hospital, route out the people that are a problem, and put in new people. Okay. So in the time that that announcement was made, through till this week, another inspector's report suggests that of all the VA hospitals, only 4 have had administrative changes where there were people brought in from outside to fix the problem. Therefore, the problems in most VA hospitals are still the same because even though they fired the people at the top, they brought up people who are in the system, who only know the system, and who work within the system, and they work in the system to keep it the way that it is, which means that still there are lots, hundreds of, if not thousands of veterans who aren't getting care, who are dying, who are just being serviced the same way. So didn't we have somebody on a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a month or so ago, from the Veterans Administration talking about how great things are?
Yep.
Bunk them. But there are still people that will tell you they have great luck, great service. Right. I know people in L.A. There's a huge complex right off the 405. The Veterans Administration has been running. I happened to be parked there yesterday using my devices, and I was watching these people walk around. And it's just so sad, actually, to look at the buildings. They're all dilapidated, and the people look like they're just so distressed. And it brings me back around to thinking about war and thinking about how we, what circumstances we create. I mean, think about the effect, the trickle-down effect of having wars that are unnecessary, the money that's made by the military-industrial complex, and then the men who become fodder, men and women, for all of this stuff to happen. We thank them for their service by screwing them. We say it yesterday at the airport, or when did I come out here? 2 days ago. There's a kid standing in line in uniform, and some guy says, thank you for your service. What does that mean? Thank you for your service. That means nothing.
Well, I think you're... Well, what do you mean?
It doesn't mean anything. We're thanking them by screwing them. But what I want to know,
but
if that guy,
that people look, the fact that people walking down the street will think a vet or an active member military for their service is a good thing. I mean, yes, we need to do more for the vets on a system, on a systemic level with the government. But I mean, you can't fault people for saying thank you to veterans.
No,
I mean,
no, I'm faulting people for not doing anything or not.
Yeah,
not,
exactly.
I'm upset because we expect these people to do the bidding for those who create the wars and then walk away and send men and women who think they're doing the right thing into battle, losing their lives, losing limbs, losing, you know, their hope for the future, that kind of stuff. And then when they come back here, they're disrespected. I think it's obnoxious.
Well, and that's what you're just saying, is they're not being disrespected when people thank them walking the streets for
But it's
service.
A meaningless gesture if
no,
we can't
not,
take
not
care of
not when it's coming
them.
From a citizen. A citizen is not in charge. Yeah, but if it's a civilian,
we are,
that's
of course we are.
Word.
We're supposed to be in charge. That's what the election's all about, right? We're supposed to pick people who are in charge because we have decided we want these people to be in charge. That's supposed to be our decision.
Yeah, but I feel like we talk about the importance of gratitude in life.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
That's
I think
true.
It's silly if we say that we you know, it's pointless to thank people.
I didn't say it was pointless.
What's the alternative? You're kind of a loser. You're being gamed by Uncle Sam.
Right.
Well, come on, loser.
Well, they're not losers, but
join
they are being
protest.
Gamed by Uncle Sam.
No, you're going to say thank you for putting your butt on the line for me while I'm sitting here
to
at
do
the
what?
Airport flying across the country.
Well, yeah, but why are we putting their lives on the line? So
that
the military
does
make
more
money?
That's
not their
fault. That's not their fault.
I didn't say it was. I'm saying the people who...
I think the answer is not thanking or appreciating.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I would like the person who just says thanks for your service to do more than just say thanks for your service.
But how do you know that that person that you witnessed thank the whoever it was, the service person, how do you know that that person doesn't give a huge amount of their money to the VA hospitals or to other organizations that support the vets? You
don't
know that.
Money.
But you don't know that. I mean, you don't know what they're doing in that life.
That I'm tired of people just mouthing things because they hear other people say them and they have no real sense or spirit behind them. That's what.
But
I'm
how do you know that individual person?
Because I just get the drift of it from watching him say it and watching this kid. It bothers me, and I can say that it bothers me because it bothers me. I would like it so bothers me that all these people who put on uniforms. Now I'm getting into another bind here with time. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, you're the one saying that we shouldn't thank our.
Well, you took us down this rabbit hole, Alice.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But I guess I didn't do a good job of explaining why I was saying that. I think it is a substitute, and I know people who are like this. So maybe not everybody is like this, but I know too many people who just they assuage their guilt of understanding that they kept their children out of going into the service through some means, and somebody else went in their place. So, okay, they say thanks to some kid who went into the service instead of their kid going into the service. I know that's a jaundiced way of looking at
it. It's amazing that you just witnessed this and got so much backstory.
Well,
you're really good, Preston.
Thank you. Are you comfortable with your electronic health records being shared across the internet? Here's Andy Solomon with an answer to that question.
A new survey shows that 72% of Americans are concerned about their online healthcare records being vulnerable to hackers. Dr. Mark Johansson, academic dean for University of Phoenix School of Health Services Administration, explains.
As Americans are becoming more comfortable with the use of new technologies managing their healthcare records, the industry has an obligation to preserve that trust by developing new technologies, protocols, and systems that can provide them with the security they deserve.
Johansson says that it is important to explore new information technologies in advancing the healthcare industry.
At the University of Phoenix, the College of Health Professions and the College of Information Systems and Technology are working together to make sure the next generation of health and IT professionals are learning to collaborate on advanced technologies and best practices that are vital to helping provide patients with the best possible security when it comes to their health care.
To learn more, visit phoenix.edu.
America, we can.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactive says is better than proactive. Announcing today's Proactive Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactive Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-677-6111 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactive Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The Plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactive Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-677-6111. Be one of the first to try Proactive Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-677-6111. 1-800-677-6111.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This right-handed hitter was the 1977 Comeback Player of the Year. He anchored the hot corner for the Southside Hitmen of the Chicago White Sox, a team that in 77 slugged 192 homers.
Soderholm, last one down the line to get the White Sox offense rolling.
So where is Eric Soderholm now? Eric founded Front Row Tickets in 1984, which became a multi-million dollar business in the world of ticket brokering. Eric also opened Sodder World with his daughter, Misty. It's a spa and health and wellness center in suburban Chicago, which has been going strong since 1997.
The key was starting a business and then surround yourself with quality people.
Sounds like a winning formula to me. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Today on App Check, HoloToy is an interactive hologram using Anamorphosis perspectives to emulate a constant viewing angle.
What?
And it's $2.
What?
Not including 3D glasses. HoloToy struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So you've mailed a letter you wish you hadn't. Maybe you've written someone a nasty letter, they've apologized, and you want it back before they've read it. Or maybe you just mailed a letter by mistake. Can you get it back? Easy. Just ask the post office. Here's the social science of it. It's very possible to retrieve a letter after you've already mailed it, but you must act fast. Once you realize your mistake, head to the local post office, ask them for form PS1509, sender's application for recall of mail. Fill it out, give it to the postal clerk, and you've got a shot of getting your mistake back. And get this, it's absolutely free. What's a cheap psychological trick? Act in haste, repent at leisure, because this time the post office to the rescue. Love to hear from you. Send me an email at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.